Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Yesterday might be the worst day in Philadelphia history since the Battle of Germantown. Look it up. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez behind the glass today. We're at the City Place Studios having a good time on a Friday edition of the program. October the 10th, 2025. You got two Game 5s this weekend in Division Series action on the MLB postseason. You got Thursday Night Football happened last night. How about the New York Giants? Boy, are Mike and I happy that we stayed off that game.
Yeah, and I'm very happy we decided to take the Lions instead. You turn in a corner on Dart yet? It was, you know.
Played a great game. There's no doubt about that. The defense played a great game. It's so bizarre how these teams can flip because that team was so bad on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. They were so bad.
A lot of it was Dart, too.
And, you know, and it's just offensively, they were just a nightmare. Yeah. And it just completely flipped. Everything was firing on all cylinders. The Eagles had a bad game offensively. Jalen Hurts did not have a good game himself. They could not run the ball at all. I think that was the real turning point in the game, is shutting down Saquon Barkley and putting the game in that passing game's hands. Everybody's seeing now that all you got to do is make them throw more than they'd like to, and that's how you beat them.
Yeah, and the Devontae Smith missed throw, I feel like, is where the game was
really
lost.
Killed the game.
I know the Giants later on got an interception.
That interception was a terrible throw.
That was kind of the nail in the coffin right after that because they went down and scored. But Jalen Hurts was off his game. Now, I'm not going to be one of those people today and tell you how bad of a quarterback Jalen Hurts is. It was a bad game, man. You know, it was a bad game. And that's two games in a row where, you know, that Bronco game, the end of the game, they completely folded. But this game, I mean, just self-inflicted wounds. So, like, now 2 weeks in a row where Philadelphia kind of looks vulnerable, 4-2 on the slate. I'll tell you what, Eagles are still a really good team, and I think they're going to be still competing in the NFC, but I think there's chinks in the armor now. And you alluded to make them throw the ball more than they want. Barkley really hasn't been good all year, right? I mean, he's been serviceable, but not great. He's not going to be...
First time in his career with the Eagles that he's gotten under 15 touches in consecutive games.
And he's not going to be breaking Eric, or rather having a chance to break Eric Dickerson's record this year. So it seems like teams have keyed in on Barkley. They're making Hurts throw, and especially the last 2 weeks.
They see... You want to talk about chink in the armor? It's, hey, take away the rushing attack. It doesn't even matter if you sack Hurts or not. That is how you... Mm-hmm. Hold back that offense. You shut down the rushing attack, and the Giants have a great defensive line. They have a good front seven. And if they are able to do that, then you throw a whole... You put the game in Hurts' hands. And I'm a Hurts defender. I think Hurts is a good player. I do.
I do, too.
And I think he's a winner, and I think he's the type of leader that you want in your team. He's talented-wise, he's not necessarily near the top of the ladder. Nobody's arguing that. But there is something intangible that he has that... just about everybody in football does not have. And if you're shut down that offense, the second game in a row, he's thrown it 30-plus times. He is a 24-25 throw-it-time guy. And if you keep the ball out of the rushing attack's hands and a couple bad turnovers, uncharacteristic turnovers, and on the other side, the Giants have a little bit of momentum, hard to play in that building. They're able to move the ball, especially rushing. Then that's what you get. That was a team effort, so to speak. And Dart looked good. It did. He looked comfortable. Now he still, again, throws himself around entirely too much for my liking. Like, 13 rushes again, and I think every single time he was taking a tackle.
And, like, the head down, you know, just begging to get his noggin hit.
I mean, we gotta root for you. Cam Scataboo is funny because that guy invites that, but you even saw it. You want to know the takeaway of the Giants? Because you can think about the coach. When Dart went down and they went to go take a look at him in the medical tent, and Russell Wilson came in, he must have been in the game for 100 seconds. And not only does every fan in the building boo, the coaches on the sideline were peeking into the medical tent thinking, hey, is Dart good? Is Dart good? We can't watch this anymore. Is Dart good?
Kyle, that's why I was so on Dable and coaches and company, like, you
they
can't.
They hate his guts.
You can't trot him out there anymore. And like, to your credit of, you got to make sure the kid's protected, because if Dart goes down this season,
it's every game that he is. He's going to have dusty. He's going to have a date with the trainer every for a concussion symptom thing every time they go out there.
Now, we said, like, with Dable specifically, what are you going to do at the end of the season? Like, what are you going to be able to show for yourself at the end of the year? Right now, it's looking pretty good with how well Dart is playing. Now, the book's going to come out on Dart. I would probably say within the next 3-4 weeks.
I mean, they've been erratic regardless. You can make the argument that the Saints, right, you know, they tore him apart as well.
You're going
to
get some tape, more tape on the young man. But I really do think that Dable and Shane.
Does this loss, I mean, win, protect them a little bit?
Kyle, they didn't score. The Eagles didn't score a point in the second half. I think that was more impressive. The defense was able to hold up. Now, I know Hurts didn't play good at all.
No, but their defense is really good.
Yeah.
Very underrated.
Like, I feel like if you're a Philly fan, that's the most alarming. You had halftime at Nick Sirianni, who's been good, all right? Like, I know Eagle fans, some Eagle fans still on Sirianni a bit, even after the Super Bowl. But, like, the one thing you could get on the coaching staff for on the Eagles side, you did not score a point. You did not score a point in the second half after being able to make adjustments. That's alarming. And that's something that Brian Dable could look at, I believe, John Mara, owner of the Giants, and go, listen, we played a divisional opponent, the Super Bowl champs. They didn't score a single point. And the guy we drafted, the two guys we drafted, looked like cornerstone pieces in Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart.
I would be on the side that this protects them quite a bit. Now, I don't like the fact it's so obvious that Dable has his career tied to the success of Jackson Dart. His career is tied to it.
Right? It is.
At lockstep with the hip. And the fact that it is so apparent that all he cares about is Jackson Dart getting them to the end of that game, hopefully getting a win under their belt, and just moving onward after that, it makes me a little nervous to the fact that is Dable just worried about protecting his job at the expense of the kid and throwing him out there to the fire, and he's going to get beat up to kingdom come every week just so it protects his job a little bit? Or is he more worried about the development of the actual player? That's what I'm nervous about. But the Dart has played well for 2 out of 3 games.
I told you at the time that this was his only chess move left. The only move left that Dable and Shane had was for Dart to be good. And it's looked pretty good over the first couple of weeks.
I mean, they've beaten 2 playoff teams.
Starting. And to be completely honest, Colin, Dable and Shane are lucky they're even in this position. Now, Daniel Jones, it looks like he's found new life in Indianapolis. When we're Indianapolis, you know, we're Indiana Jones fans on this program. But Dable and Shane are lucky they even had the second opportunity to be tied to the hip with Dart. And I completely agree with what you said. Both of their livelihoods with the New York Giants are tied to Jackson.
I don't love that because if they get out, then all of a sudden you're going through, you're putting into a blender of figuring out who's going to be next and if people like Dart, but the coach doesn't like Dart. We've talked about this a number of times, but I wonder what the point is. We have to see a point in the progress where that coach will come back. We got to set a number.
I think this
set a look, set a feel.
If the quarterback stays healthy and continues to play well, that's what brings him back. If they win 6 games, if they win, Colin, I know I was on Dable's case. All right, so you're welcome to, you know, yell at me for that. But I think 5 wins and Dart looking good, it's probably enough to bring him back.
And a couple of tinkering. It's big wins too.
It is. But I was on Dable's case because I thought trotting out Russell Wilson again was insanity. And it seems like everyone's turning the corner on that.
That's the thing. 4 days ago, we were thinking that's the worst offense we've ever watched. And then today, you're saying the complete opposite. This is going to be a week-by-week team. They're going to have games like we saw yesterday where they're, wow, this team has a lot of surprise and fun to it. And then you're going to see games like New Orleans where you're thinking, boy, oh boy, is it really, really ugly. That's where I get nervous about the Giants. You're going to see the give and take. Now, you wonder if owner John Mara is going to be okay with that. That this is going to be a developmental phase. You can't necessarily have playoff expectations on a year like this because this is all about the progress. This is about getting through the season healthy and understanding two things. Number one, the roster construction is taking steps forward and you like the quarterback.
Yeah, and it was Dart's first road test, I believe, against New Orleans too. I'll cut him a little slack on that.
The team was winless, but yes.
Is Dart, we talk about the playing style, the 13 attempts. Is he Allen-esque in the sense that he might be able to get away with running as much as he does? No, he's not built like Josh Allen.
What tells you that?
He's not built like Allen, but he's a game. I think, geez, Kyle, he's played three games, but we call guys like Mayfield and Nix a gamer. I think he's got a little bit of that to him.
He does.
A Bo Nix, Baker-esque kind of thing.
He is a savvy athlete. There's no doubt.
And I think maybe he's going to be able to get away with the whole run the ball 10 to 13 times
a
game. But
it's not a matter of he could get away with it. It's if his body can hold up. That's the problem.
I guess
Josh Allen is a cement truck.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Maybe he's built for that.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe he's built
for
that.
Anthony Richardson thought he was built for that, and then five games into his season, he separated his shoulder, and we didn't see him for the rest of the year. And I remember the first game he played was against Trevor Lawrence, and Lawrence goes up to him after the game and says, hey, protect yourself. He's like, I saw that today. He's like, protect yourself. He's like, you are throwing. And he was throwing his body around.
He was.
And he got hurt. And that guy's a gifted athlete as well. I'm not trying to say, speak it into existence. I mean, if you watch the game yesterday, there were a number of plays where you look at him, you're like, dude.
Go down.
Go down, live to fight another down. No quarterback in the history of football, outside of maybe Josh Allen, has been able to survive the brunt force of defensive hits week in and week out. Like, even guys who, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't doing that. I think that was a cement truck. Vic, Lamar Jackson, those guys are speedsters. They're very savvy with how they avoid contact.
Correct.
You can't be that tight. That can't be your persona. Now, does he need to be a flamethrower, throw the ball over the field third game of his career? No. But I'm looking at the long term versus the short term. The short term is, hey, this is fun. This is interesting. They're exciting. They finally got a quarterback with a little bit of, swagger and persona. Daniel Jones was a little wooden. But to that point, 13 rushes, once again, he's going to be a rushing quarterback. There's no doubt. But the kid's got to protect himself. Mm-hmm. And you saw how the team responded when he was out for two plays. What if that turns into two games? That's where you get nervous.
It seems like the team has an identity. I don't necessarily think you saw that with Wilson. Like, they started playing Scataboo more. Like, let's be honest with us. The first 3 weeks, we barely saw Scataboo. But now they're playing Scataboo more. They're turning into a ground-and-pound kind of team, and I'm here for it. And they're doing this all without – and Dart's doing this all without Malik Nabers, too. I know his throwing stats aren't there.
Well, because he doesn't throw the ball that much.
Right. And I feel like a lot of that has to do with their number one guy being out. And this is where I'm going to continue. And I can't believe this is where we're at 2.5 weeks later after I lambasted Brian Daboll for the Russell Wilson stuff. But, like, I think that's where you got to give Daboll credit. I think it is because you changed the whole persona of the team. Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards in Dallas. And then now
– in a game they should have won.
And now you're kind of a run-first team. You're a bully ball team. Your defense is stepping up. You're winning line of scrimmage battles. I think that's progress by the coach. I do.
It's a matter of who's playing for them. It's a different team playing now than it was week two. But to the same token, the offensive line has gotten a little healthier, and they got Andrew Thomas. Like, they have players back, which is important. And their defensive line is as good as any. Giants have to figure out how to attack, and they get a brutal schedule, even continued. They got to figure out what that point is and where everything runs it back. Does five wins do it? Now, they have two great wins. They have three wins the rest of the way. In the next, 12 weeks? If they have three wins the rest of the way, are you really sitting here thinking, hey, let's do this again? That's where I get nervous. I agree with you. Five wins with the two big wins that they've had, and maybe they beat another playoff team. You're looking around, and you're like, hold on. A couple close losses and beating good teams, that should mean something, and it should. But to the same notion, we're going to have a different feel if they lose four of their next five and then finish with five wins to finish off the year. That's the one thing. Let's draw the line. We like what we're seeing. You got to draw the line. What's the goal? It's not playoffs. We're not here to win a playoff game. We're not here to, contend for the NFC East. Mm-hmm. Where's the line that we need to get to in order to like what we have for the foreseeable future?
A big thing on that line, too, is Dart. Like, I feel like five wins, good momentum, but Dart's the biggest key. Was he able to stay healthy? Did Daboll take care of the young quarterback? Did you see progression throughout the season?
Yeah, the kid's awesome. There's no doubt.
Was Dart the reason you were in these games. Like, obviously, the New Orleans game, you're going to have that. It was his first road test. He did, literally threw the ball away on one of the drives. Texted all my buddies.
They're terrible.
That's what happens when you got a rookie quarterback like that. You got to go through the aches and pains of it. And I think Mara and how the owner of the Giants, John Mara, I think he looks at the team right now and goes, okay, looks like we got a couple of decent pieces. How is this young quarterback going to look at the end of the season? And is he going to be a quarterback we're going to be able to rely on for the next couple of years? And is he our first franchise guy since Eli Manning?
And that means you're going to have to bring in another coach who agrees with that sentiment if they end up moving on from
him.
I don't know. I'm indifferent on Dable because you don't win 2 out of 3 games against 2 probable playoff teams, including the Eagles, who have lost, 3 times in 2 years. You don't win that type of game and get nothing for it. You do. That team's probably going to lose upward of more than 10 games. But you got to think, where's our line that Brian Dable is protected? Because he is coaching like he is on a game-by-game lifeline. And that is apparent. You see that like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Dable is walking around that sideline, checking in on the medical tent, thinking, boy, do I just need to survive today.
Colin, you were right about their schedule because their next 8 games are arguably against playoff teams.
That's true. It's brutal.
Broncos, Eagles, Niners, Bears, Packers, Lions, Patriots, Commanders, Vikings. And then you're at the Raiders, second to last game of the season.
Wow.
And then the last game of the season, I like the Cowboys. I know they don't have a defense, but I think they could be a team maybe in the mix.
And Dallas always plays them well.
They end with the Cowboys at home. I mean, you could argue outside of the Raiders. Now, we'll see what the Vikings look like. We'll see if the Patriots can keep up the momentum. The
bottom line is brutal schedule.
And these are teams right now where we're almost to the halfway point. These are teams right now that are in the hunt. I could at least say every single team on that schedule is going to be in the hunt. So I think five wins, competitive, Dart looking good,
yeah, they're playing
defense looking good.
They're playing the AFC West and the NFC North, probably the two last divisions I'd want to play.
At Broncos.
In the football.
At Broncos, at Eagles, back-to-back weeks for Jackson Dart.
Like, yeah, the good news is, we beat the Eagles. We just got to deal with them again in about 10 days.
And the Broncos have been in games, too. It's not like the Broncos have completely blown teams out.
It's a brutal defense. That team's gonna be ready.
Every single week, it seems like the Broncos are in the fight for their life, right? So, forgive me for thinking they might even be in that game next week. I don't know. They're a fun team. I think that's a one. The big takeaway I had, that New Orleans game was from someone who doesn't have a dog in the fight with the Giants and whatnot. I'm not a Giant fan, not a New York guy. But it's like, all right, the Giants are on. It's going to be fun. You know, we're going to see Dart run all over the place. You're going to see Scatabooze, smashing his head against a bench or something, getting himself hyped up. You know, that guy's a psycho, dude.
Psycho.
That guy's an absolute psycho.
He's old school.
Oh, I love it. And I love every second of it. So, I keep them circled, man. You know, keep them circled on that NFL Sunday when you got red zone on, dude. They're going to be crazy things coming from their games all year long.
The good news is they have instilled a little bit of worry into other teams. People now go in to play the Giants. It's like, hey, if you don't catch this team on the right week, or if they catch you on the right week, they could beat you. There's not, you know, you don't feel that about the Raiders. You don't feel that about the Jets. You don't feel that about really the Saints. But you could feel that about the Giants because of the quality of wins that they have strung together. Hey, this team can beat you, and they could catch you if you don't hang around. And I'm not going to include the Titans in that because the Arizona threw that game away. 888-760-3776. You think Dable's in a better spot? Can he survive the year? What is the line in which he needs to get to survive the year as the Giants head coach and to get another year? Are you in on the Giants? Are you out? Let us know. 888-760-3776. Russo and Rizzo taking a timeout on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Download the ESPN South Florida app. You can listen to myself and Mike. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to our high school coverage tonight. We got the Martin Bowl tonight, South Fork and Martin County. That's going to be tonight on ESPN West Palm High School Game Day. You can listen to all that, including Inter-Miami, English and Spanish, Florida Panther games, from the app, from any place. The ESPN South Florida app available to download for free on the App Store. Go check it out today. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. We got Damian Perez. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. 888-760-3776. Mike and I had very different days today. My day consisted of meeting Mr. Freeze, or The Freeze, excuse me, who is courtesy of Racetrack, the guy who races people at the Atlanta Braves games, you know, around the warning track, and he gives people the head start. You know, he lets them run for 5-10 seconds ahead of him, and then he catches up to him, and he wears this white outfit, and he's like a world-class sprinter, and he races people around the warning track at Braves games. You've seen the videos. And so what I did today is, with our friends at Racetrack, he will be at the Martin Bowl tonight. The Freeze himself. He'll be at the Martin
Bowl. Yeah,
and he's going to be racing for some people. He's going to be racing some people.
I'll tell you what. He's got to make up for what happened today.
What happened today is we were filming some things alongside Christian Cat, who we love our friends at Racetrack. So we were filming stuff with Freeze. I kept calling him Freeze, not The Freeze. Freeze. And we filmed some stuff inside. And at the end, I'm like, dude, you got your running shoes on. And the thing about Freeze is he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything. So it's like
a mascot.
It's like a Spider-Man situation. He's like protecting his identity. So he doesn't speak.
Is he A-Train?
He doesn't
from
speak.
From the Boys?
Yeah, he doesn't speak. So I was bizarre. I was a little thrown off by that. Because I walk in, I'm like, Freeze. What's up, Freeze? And he just like, I'm like, dude, you don't talk? And he goes, no. And he just nods his head, no. I'm like, all right. So the thing is, I have so many questions. So like, I have to boil them down to yes and no's. But after we did what we need to do in terms of filming on site, eventually I'm like, dude, we need to race. And he looks at me and he clearly is not into the idea. And I'm like, Freeze, you're not coming here with your shoes and the outfit. And there's a wide open gas station parking lot right outside. You're not getting away with not running. Me and you were running. And I told him, I'm like, dude, I got shorts on, and I got a t-shirt, and I got my running shoes in the car. Start stretching. And he's a good guy. He was a nice guy. He was a really good guy. And from what I
did. He didn't from talk. What I, from How what, did you even? Guy didn't from talk.
From what I communicated non-verbally with him, I was able to discern that this guy, I like this guy. And I told him to start stretching. And then I got my shoes. I wake up my hamstrings. I didn't want to blow it out because I haven't sprinted in, you know, a bit. And we lined up at a stop sign. We probably raced, I would ballpark, at 80 to 100 yards. And you could check out the video at ESPN West Palm on our Instagram.
I mean, you beat him.
I think I might have.
You beat him.
I might have.
And, like, that's why I said
I personally think in the moment he had me by a step.
No.
Half a step?
No.
But I was right there.
No, you beat him.
I was right there.
I think he's got a lot of making up to do tonight.
Wow, so you're down on the Freeze.
I'm down on the Freeze. That's his whole shtick is being fast and whatever, and you smoked him, dude.
I did not smoke him, but I warned him. I said, dude, I'm not
you
one of those.
You beat him.
Oh, I kept asking him. So the big question I really wanted to know was, all right, so you race people at the warning track at Braves games. He does it. I don't know. I don't think he does it every day. I had two big questions. Number one, are you the only one? And he wouldn't give me that answer. I'm like, there's definitely more.
Well, he doesn't
more.
Talk.
What?
He also doesn't talk.
I'm trying to do this via hands and nodding. Because he would tell me hands.
You know sign language? Does he know ASL?
I like numbers.
American
on the
sign
hands.
Language?
Numbers. So I'm like, are there more of you? And he goes, I'm like, all right, how about this? Bad day. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Your hips, you know, out of place today. You can't run. Somebody else fill your place? And he nods yes.
Okay.
Like, all right. What does that guy have a backup too? And that guy might be out of town. And he goes, yeah. So there's three of them, which I thought was interesting. After that, I said, did you try out or did they find you? And he said he tried out. So I thought it was interesting as well. And then after that, from there, I go, all right, so here's how you do this. I'm not stupid. You've seen the videos.
Of course.
He watches them. He's smart. He's a runner. He watches the person he's racing. He sees how they run. Right? And when they're a little ahead of you, he gives them all a head start purposely and he catches up. He sees how the person runs, whether their form, how fast they're moving, their general athleticism. And he, in the moment, quickly makes a conclusion or gets to a conclusion that, all right, I'm going to need to run. I'm going to have to leave a second earlier or a second later because I could trying to make this a photo finish because he's an entertainer. And I basically explained this to him. And I was like, listen, I know how you do this. You're an entertainer at the end of the day, and you want this to be a photo finish. So what you do is you read the person you're racing, and then you will leave a second later, second earlier. If you think the guy's going to be a threat, you'll go 2 seconds earlier, and then you'll make sure you win at the last second. Am I wrong? And he elected not to answer. Well, he doesn't talk, but he elected not to answer. So I think I got him there.
How'd you know he elected not to answer?
Because he wouldn't give me, he wouldn't nod me. Colin, he wouldn't nod or shake his head.
I feel like, and listen, for the record, I am a distance runner. I am not a sprinter. So I am not fast.
I'm the same boat.
The freeze would smoke me.
Same boat.
I saw both of you run. You guys would both beat me in a race for Poidia. It's a tough look to lose to you. It's a tough look for the freeze. That was a tough look today for him at that racetrack. You embarrassed him. And I feel like that's why he didn't want to do it.
He didn't look at me and think this guy's a threat. I'm wearing a Fernando Tatis Padres shirt from when he was a when he was a prospect. It was the old Padre jersey.
It's the blue one.
And then I was wearing basketball shorts and New Balance shoes.
It was a tough scene for him today. It's a tough scene. He's gonna have to make up for it.
I think he beat me.
He's gonna have to make up for it on the race.
How do you know this is not part of the show?
Not part of the shtick?
Part of the shtick is he wins last second.
Kyle, I didn't listen, buddy. As we'll get into, I had a lot of time on my hands today. I've watched the video a couple of times. Yeah, I think you won.
I told him,
he had a bad start.
Bad start. I think he did that
bad
purposely.
Start.
Everybody tells me false start. If you watch the video on ESPN West Palm on Instagram, you can see the video. Everybody was telling me, hey, you had a false start.
No, it's not true.
I timed it
you
perfectly.
You had a perfect start.
I timed it perfectly.
Green light.
Freeze was the one who screwed up his
correct.
Get-off.
And I think that kind of backfired for him a bit. I don't know. I felt like he thought he was going to smoke you. And then he realized, like, oh, my God, I'm stride with this kid.
And I don't have a full warning track to
exactly.
catch up.
So, like, it was kind of a tough scene for the brand, for the Freeze brand today. It really was. It's a tough scene for that kid.
Damien, you saw the video, I assume, of me racing the Freeze, correct?
I just watched it, actually.
And?
He did win, but...
Did he?
Very impressive. He won by just like a second.
Like a half a step. You saw it in the freeze frame. There was a freeze frame picture.
Right, well, maybe I'm dead wrong here. That is his shtick.
But nonetheless, I think that was way too close. I agree with Mike. That was way too close for him. I think he should be smoking you.
Yeah. I think you might be onto something where like it's a photo finish, and maybe that's what he wanted to do. Maybe I'm the one missing the point, and he like let up a little bit. Because he wanted to make sure it was a photo finish. But at the same time, like I expected him to win by a couple of lengths. So maybe I'm the one wrong here. Maybe I don't understand.
Is it about the entertainment aspect?
Yeah. And
Damien,
and,
what's your read on that? Do you think he purposely slowed down?
Well, if he takes off and he's like 10 steps ahead of you, you know, you're just going to give up. So I feel like he kind of keeps it close just to keep the other person like running full sprint.
All right, so let me throw something else out there. After I raced him, there was a gentleman named Troy who worked at the local racetrack. This guy is like a brand ambassador for racetrack. He's based out of Atlanta, obviously, for the
Braves.
Shout
out, Troy.
And Troy works at the racetrack we were at up off of exit 76 on Military Trail.
Go check it out.
And Troy was like, I want to race too. I'm like, all right, Troy, line up. Let's go. And so Troy raced the Freeze. About, you know, the Freeze needed the water. How about this? Freeze needed water. So he went inside to go get a water. And he took like 10 minutes. Freeze, let's go. And he's going to race tonight at the Martin Bowl. So go over to ESPN West Palm High School game day for a chance to race the Freeze.
I think he was taking some Compound V from the boys.
I don't know. And so he goes inside to get some water. I'm like, all right, Freeze, ready to rock and roll? And Troy's older than I am. He's probably 10, 15 years older than I am. And Troy is, he was talking a lot of garbage.
Is he an athlete?
Formerly. Okay. Let's put it that way. And Troy got smoked. And Freeze didn't care about making it a photo finish with Troy. Maybe Troy wasn't fast enough.
Did he go after you?
He did.
So I feel like he was just showing out at that point.
He's pissed?
You think he was pissed? I think he was.
Now it makes sense. Yeah, he got embarrassed a bit. He got embarrassed a bit. I think he like took you lightly and realized that like, oh my God, I'm about to lose to this kid.
Well, I've been planning this race for a number of days.
You've been practicing sprints?
No, I have not. Okay. I haven't. Can see on my get off. I am not a track athlete.
I think he had to make.
So he took it out on Troy?
I think so. And now tonight, none of those high school kids stand a chance. None of those kids stand a chance.
You ruined it, Colin.
Yeah, you ruined it. You ruined it for everybody. And the worst part is, it's on. Like that one was on camera. The one where he fumbled is on camera.
You'll be able to see it on our live stream tonight at ESPN Top 63. He'll be racing people, I believe, before the game. So stick around for that. I'm not sure. on the actual timing, but he'll be there. I know that.
And I apologize for all the Boys references. Like, I just, like, wrapped
up. He's like,
up,
yeah.
I just wrapped up the series. A-Train is, like, the really fast one in the Boys. And that's why I said he went inside. He said it took 10 minutes. Took a little Compound V, kid.
Wow, yeah, he was gone for a bit.
Took
he
a little Compound V.
He was needing to get some water. Yeah, I'm right. not saying.
Water.
I think he beat me. And I think I had a better get off start than he did. But you can check out the video, make your own declaration at ESPN West Palm on Instagram to see me race the Freeze, the Atlanta Braves racetrack ambassador that races people around the warning track over a Truist Park, I believe it's called. I don't know. It gave me another reason now I got to go book a trip to Atlanta to go get a second go out of this guy around the warning track.
No, I don't think you win that. Just because he's been doing that.
And
his,
I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be pissed.
This is the
he's
last.
He's going to be pissed. He's going to be pissed.
Promise this is the last time I'm going to use this word today. That's his true shtick. It's the whole, I'm going to beat you around the ball diamond. That's the shtick.
So I'm in trouble there.
You'd be in trouble there.
And he also would know.
He's You'd
like,
be in
I,
trouble.
He's like, this is the correct. Guy that almost
you,
had me
like, here's
at the, that racetrack parking lot.
You saw him, like, Kyle, if the race was like 20 yards farther, he would have got you pretty good, I feel like.
Yes.
I, you know, so
yeah,
like,
he caught up to me. He's faster than
correct.
I.
Correct. But like,
but we only race. Hold on. There's a lot of people that, you know, distance runners are faster like than I sprinters. Said, like, but the reason that sprinters sprint is because they're faster in the short term.
And Kyle, once again, like, the one that got caught on camera was him getting embarrassed. The whole Troy thing wasn't on camera.
Troy took a video. Somebody took a video with Troy's phone. But we, yeah.
With all due respect to, you know, with all due respect to Troy, this one's on ESPN West Palm. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, listen. He
you're
got
down.
Caught.
You're
he
down got, on Freeze.
I just.
Damon, are you down on Freeze?
Just a bit. But.
You down on him a little bit. It was a tough.
Not only was it close and you put it on social media and everything, but you came on your radio show and you're sitting here just kind of boasting about it.
Correct.
Well, I said he beat me. I said it was a great competition.
Like, my boys and I have a saying, guys, it's, you know, tough scene for the Freeze today. It's a tough scene at that racetrack.
Comparatively to Mike's morning, Mike had a wonderful morning as well.
Not to spend too long on this, boys and girls, because I'm very upset about it. Shout out to Sal, no names please guy at a no names please car dealership.
Why even name him?
It's just, but yeah, my guy Sal. But boys, I was the guy with a smoking engine on Congress today.
And, so you had one of those moments where you're driving the car, and then all of a sudden smoke starts filing out of the little crevices on your engine block?
12:15, I had to call, you know, you don't need AAA until you need AAA.
What lane were you in?
The left lane. And that's.
Oh, so you couldn't even get off.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it wasn't highway or anything, but there were two lanes, so let's just put it that way. It's close to where I live, but yeah, car troubles, and it's a lot of money that I don't have.
So it broke down. What'd you do?
I called AAA immediately to get out of the street. Police officer helped me out a bit. So shout out to the West Palm
So you're
Palm
one of
police.
Those guys where the police department of West Palm Beach pulls over, has the sirens, the lights on?
Well, no. He didn't have his lights on. He just helped me get the car to the curb. So, like, you know, I wasn't obstructing
him. He pushed it with you?
Yeah, he was a good guy. He was a good
wow,
guy.
Wow, so did he have his hands on the trunk, on the rear, or and you were steering?
Yeah.
Like the Blues Brothers?
Correct.
Wow.
Like I said, Kyle, don't want to talk much about it.
Talk
about the freeze having a tough scene at the racetrack. Mike Rizzo had a tough scene on the West Palm Beach streets.
You and an officer, a great officer of the West Palm Beach Police Department. Why didn't you? He could have steered the car and you could have taken the brunt of the weight.
Colin, who decided who to take the back? Let's leave it at that because I'm very upset about it. Very upset. Like I said, money I don't have, but you got to get it fixed. And, the good news is it's going to be fixed by tomorrow so I could drive for Inter Miami. I'm not going to be able to do, high school tonight. I had to let our boss and program director, Brian Rowitz, down a bit tonight, but I think he understands. But
you don't have a car. Yeah.
It's bad right now.
Wow. It's bad right now. You have a bike? You want to borrow a bike?
They jury-rigged it enough to where I could go. And the first thing our director of ops, Dave Drew, said, he's like, that's a terrible idea. Probably is. But I told him, I said, make this thing.
So what are you doing? Are you dropping the car off right after work?
Dropping it off after work. And,
all right, so you need to survive. You've survived one way.
Correct.
Now you need to, the car's sitting. The car is rotting right now. So the car's in a parking garage, and now it's really settling in.
I have our patron saint in the family is St. Jude. I brought out my St. Jude coin. I've been, you know, making sure that
So you need to get about give or take a mile. You need to get that that far.
But yeah, I had a horrible day today.
Wow.
I had a horrible day.
Wow. Today. I'm racing
the freeze.
A nonverbal ambassador.
And
of,
then
of
and
race.
Then and then just picture me in car. Shut up.
With the police department pulling his car to the other side.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Like the Blues Brothers pushing their car to the gas station. That's how it goes. Russo and Rizzo will take a timeout here after this. First, the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. If you've been in that car accident, truck accident, car troubles, like Mike is today. Mike got rear-ended a couple weeks ago as well. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they are the type that fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Listen, they are the best in the business for a reason. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call and take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. One of the more bizarre finishes that we've seen this postseason for the MLB was what happened in the 11th inning with the Philadelphia Phillies and bullpen woes. Shocker. Philadelphia had a rough day yesterday. We'll get into it next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
You know, if you're into futures, if you're into capitalizing when the buy low, see if you could sell high. You took on the Chicago Cubs after they fell down 2-0 to the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field before they went back to Wrigley, and you took them to win the series. Probably got some pretty good odds on that, and you could do that on the Hard Rock Bet app. Bet game by game, bet player props. You get a Game 5 tonight, Mariners, Tigers, George Kirby, friend of show on the mound, and then you got the Cubs Brewers tomorrow back at AmFam.
I think he actually has to join the show first to be friend of show, but I understand.
We'll see what we can do about
that. We're going to get him on. We're going to
get George Kirby on.
We're going to get him on.
That's our guy. That's our guy, George Kirby. But you got the Cubs and the Brewers going back to Milwaukee tomorrow. Two good game fives on the horizon. You can bet all that on the Hard Rock Bet app. You can also bet the football slate, the college football slate, NBA starting in about 2 weeks. It's all in one spot. And the best part is if you download the Hard Rock Bet app, bet $5, win that $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets immediately. Refer a friend, get $50 additional. That's $200 in bonus bets immediately that you could go play with and have some fun in a packed sports weekend. Download the Hard Rock Bet app today in the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus. Physically present in front of the wager. Terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling. Call 1-888. Admit it. Speaking of the Cubs, yesterday, the Cubs are electric at the moment. And yesterday's game at Wrigley, 6-0 against the Brewers.
Smoked them.
Coming off of game three, where it was a very intense game. And one of my friends who I went to college with, Joe in Chicago, is joining us now. Joe, Cubs, thoughts. How are the games? He went to both games and three. He was in the building. Give me a little thoughts on the Cubs right now.
Colin, thanks for having me on. I mean, how could you not feel special about this 2025 Chicago Cubs team? To see the way that they have battled in these last two games at home in front of a crowd at Wrigley like I have never seen, man, I mean, really, I think we've got something special here. Number one, want to know who you got game five. Number two, am I crazy for thinking that the Cubs might win the World Series this year?
That's a Cub fan right there. Joe, before we give you our answers, you were at game three and game four. I assume game three was a more tense environment based on how that finished. Which crowd was better of either of the two games?
Both were fantastic, but last night, game four at Wrigley, I mean, I have never heard it erupt like it did. Every third strike, every foul ball, I mean, the place, the roof, if there was a roof, it would have flown off that place. It was insane.
How about that? I love Wrigleyville, too. And I'm sure you've been to a game there, right, Mike?
Colin, I told you, it's the best place to watch a baseball game in the country.
Yeah.
It's my favorite park ever. And I'm going with the Cubbies. Not to jump the gun, but
I've been in on the Cubs all year. All postseason.
And all year, too, I took their over. Their over was 89.5. They beat their over. They won me some cash. I told you yesterday, I think they are the one team that could come back from being down a couple of games. It's going to be tough to on the road. I mean, that godforsaken Brewers Stadium, they play well there. But I will go with the Cubs because I think the MLB needs the Cubs, too, on that NL side. Yankees are out. I feel like the matchup that the MLB wants are Cubs and Dodgers. Now, I'm not saying the league's fixed or anything, but Cubs and Dodgers, I think, is going to be the series everyone wants to watch.
I mean, is there not another opportunity for people to say, who cares about the regular season than if the Chicago Cubs were able to beat the Milwaukee Brewers after the regular season that they had?
I told you this is, you know, last segment was the last time I was going to do it, but I'm going to do it again. This is the Brewers shtick, is to win the division and then lose, you know, lose in the playoffs in grand fashion. So, I'm going with the Cubbies. The Cubbies.
I'm going to go Brewers here, Joe. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, I don't know how you can have a radio show and have a cake like that, but it's all right. You know, it's
now the game's in the.
I think you're wrong.
The game's in Milwaukee. We're uncompetitive. I will say that.
So you can make the same argument about Game 4. Joe, we appreciate you giving us the time, and Joe for jumping in. He texted me. He goes, "I was at Game 3 and 4," and he goes, "I got a couple thoughts on it." I'm like, "All right."
Perfect. It was.
It did look electric. I'm not gonna lie.
Wrigley
is great,
dude. That fan base is starving for playoff runs too. I mean, it was the first time they were in the playoffs since 2019. Of course, the Cubs were winning that game last night. So,
and one of my buddies was in the bleachers, and the ball, Hap's home run in that first inning, landed right next to him too. Oh, and he said that was the most insane thing he's ever seen in his entire life.
Oh my gosh.
How about that? Yeah. That would be awesome right now. But and the thing is, you're going to go back to Milwaukee. You got a day off in between. Big time reset. Big time reset for Milwaukee. And the thing about Milwaukee is, no Woodruff. So this is going, neither side has decided who they're going to pitch. It's going to be an all hands on deck game, which I love.
I was literally just about to say that. I went on ESPN.com. When your boy Joe is asking us for our takes, I at least wanted to know who was pitching. No,
undecided.
Now Peralta,
he went yesterday. I mean, like
and at the same time, like, he didn't pitch well either.
No,
I think it might come down to home team. That's the one thing I'm worried about. It's kind of been that the home team has been dominating this series,
and it's been the team that blitzes them first that is always the interesting, because they always first second inning there is always offense.
I said the same thing about the Blue Jays. They're shtick, for more words, was,
he,
was
that's his word of the day.
They were always, you know, blowing games in the playoffs. They couldn't get over that hump. You know, 16 was the last time they won in the playoffs. I got to see the Brewers do it.
That would
I
be a really bad loss. And it's like up 2-0 in that divisional series after having the best season in franchise history in the regular season. That'd be a tough pill to swallow.
To capitulate in the last three games like that.
Tough pill to swallow, especially after all that talk around Moneyball and we don't have the stars for it. And then to not only get shut out in Game 4, but to lose at home in Game 5. I don't know how the Brewer fan would
Chirio,
live that down.
And I don't want to hear no stars. Chirio's a great player.
There's no
doubt. And you locked him down. What the Brewers do is strategic, because they locked him down to like an 8-year contract his first year in the MLB. So like then they knew he was going to be a stud. I like how the way the Brewers operate, Colin, is like how our teams operate, the A's and the Guardians. Like you're not going to be spending big time money on these guys, you know. So give them credit.
The Brewers had their chance to knock them off when they had multiple opportunities to put them away, and the Cubs shut them out at the end of Game 3. That game was as dramatic as it gets, those last two innings.
It was.
And the Brewers were knocking on the door basically every time they got up. And yesterday was sort of that game. Well, all right, we sort of put all of our focus into Game 3. Game 4, when the Cubs struck first, that's a tough hill to climb, especially after how you lost Game 3. On the other side of things, boy, did we get robbed of an all-time great Game 5 between the Phillies and the Dodgers on Saturday
night. You know
what? No, that's how I feel.
You know what? You know what?
I was disappointed when Philly lost.
You're dead wrong there, because Philly had every chance in that game. They couldn't hit.
I know.
They couldn't hit. I mean, my God, Kyle, you look at their lineup and go, this isn't a team that's only going to score one run in an elimination game. I do not feel bad for Philly fan today. I don't.
I agree with you.
I wanted a game
fan.
Five.
I was disappointed in Philly because I wanted that game five.
That's what they do.
I wanted game five.
That lineup goes cold when they need them the most. Now, give them credit. What was it, 2022? You had big hit after big hit with Harper and company. But one run? Team scored one run
in 11 innings.
And Ohtani was a non-factor. I mean, he walked. You know, give him credit there.
Here's the
able to get that walk. But
here's the problem. They intentionally walk him. When this is where I don't want to get into the nitty gritty of the whole game, but we all saw the last play of the game with Orion Kerkring, got the grounder, two outs, bases loaded, and panicked. You could see the panic. There is a visual. If you want to see what it's like to panic in a baseball game, look no further than Orion Kerkring, the reliever for the Phillies last night, coming out after Luzardo left on two. Point being, he had the out to get out of the inning at first base after a little grounder right to the mound. Bobbled it a little bit and then panicked, threw it home, and the ball went wild. It's bizarre how pitchers have pinpoint accuracy when throwing to that, but they are the biggest culprit of just letting the ball completely sail
yep.
when making a routine play in the field. But that's a type of play where you're going to have to live with that, but it's not the reason they lost the game.
In an elimination.
It's not the reason they lost the game.
In an elimination game to score one run, you don't deserve
that's why. You can't look at Orion Kirkring, the reliever, and say you threw away the season when the offense put together one run in 11 innings.
You don't deserve it.
Can't do that.
Do not deserve it. And the Dodgers were begging for the Phillies to extend it five.
Begging
them to extend it to a fifth game at home in front of those godforsaken Philly fans.
How about this?
Stay home. How about that? Philly fan, don't worry.
Here's some stats.
Get the Savannah Bananas in a couple of months.
Dodgers won the series 3-1. They hit 199. They had a 557 OPS. I mean, they went 5-for-29 with runners in scoring position and left 31 on base.
I don't want to hear it.
They still won in four. That's how dangerous they are.
Don't want to. And
Ohtani had literally was non-existent the entire series outside of game one on the mound. At bat, he did absolutely nothing, yeah. Which is why I think the Phillies, their big screw-up, the reason they lost the game, in my opinion, they're up 1-0, and Duran comes in the seventh inning. That's your closer. You bring him in an inning and a half early, and he needs to get two outs, and he's able to get one, but all of a sudden Ohtani comes up, and you intentionally walk Ohtani to load the bases, then you walk Betts.
Yep.
That loses the game. That's why you lose the game. It doesn't matter if it's tied. You don't, in my opinion, you don't walk Ohtani, who's 1-for-17 to that point, and you go pitch him straight up, even if he's cold. That's overmanaging, but that's why you lose the game. It's not because of Orion Kirkring screwing up in the field. Did it delay us of a great baseball game? Can you blame him? Yes, but that is not the reason that the Phillies lost. I was disappointed for the Phillies last night. I really was. And I hate the Phillies. It's just because I wanted to see Game 5. Phillies already used Jesus Luzardo, who was supposed to be the Game 5 starter. It would have been a fascinating game of chess to see how each team would have handled how they pitched. That's all I wanted to see. I just wanted to watch good baseball.
One run. You're out.
I just wanted to watch good baseball.
Kyle, you're out.
Sorry. Well, that's the funny thing. The Dodgers scored one run, too.
That's why they were begging for them to win the game. I go back to what I said.
Begging.
At home, they laid an egg, but their egg was a bit smaller.
It was a pitching masterclass from a lot of guys last night.
Lizardo was great.
Sasaki was fantastic. Like, they were great.
Like, Lizardo, that was a big spot for him to come on there, man.
He was great. And he pitched on short rest out of the pen, and they bailed on him for game five. The second he came in, I'm like, Philly's got to win now. Because I got to see who they put up against Ohtani. I mean, that was... Oh,
yeah,
a baseball fan, I am thinking, guys, can we just, I just want, the league needs this.
I am never a fan. And I forget, it paid off for the Red Sox and Chapman in that game one where they were able to win in New York. But Colin, I am never a fan of bringing a closer in a non-save situation. So I'm with you. Rod Thompson dropped the ball there. And if he could do it different, you'd probably go Stram there. Yeah, anybody but Duran.
That's the thing.
Anybody but Duran.
I'm fine with putting Duran in. Because it's do or die. I'm not fine with intentionally walking Ohtani.
But he's your closer. Like, these guys.
That's why I'm saying you're going to put in your closer. Let him pitch to Ohtani. Let him pitch. That's where I had a problem. Seventh inning, when you intentionally load the bases, that's where they lost the game. You're putting too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Not happy with how the Phillies handled that. I really am not. Because that would have been a perfect Saturday night cap. Perfect. You go in with game five of the Cubs Brewers, and then you can finish it off with the Phillies Dodgers. That's why. And the Phillies, they have a lot of Yankees to them where you're sort of wondering what's going to change, who's not going to be there, and are they going to blow it all up? Has it been ultimately a failure? That they got a little bit of the NL side of the Yankees. I mean, they have so much power and talent and money poured into it, but they never seemingly can put it together. They've had one post-World Series run. There's a lot of parallels with the New York Yankees with them.
Pitching's getting old, and Wheeler.
They're getting old. Their best players are old. How many more years can you do this? Do we like the manager? That's the Phillies.
Thompson took over. He was the interim.
2022.
He was the
interim. He took over for Girardi.
Right, and then they went to the World Series that year.
That's why they hold him around. So, and now at a certain point, do we move on? Do we change things?
God, Joe Girardi seemed like an eon ago.
They got a little bit of they're the NL version of the Yankees. That's what the Phillies are. The NL version of the Yankees.
They have more, dare I say, they have more star power in their 1-9 lineup than the Yankees.
Absolutely. And that's all you need to laugh about.
Right. Schwarbaum, you know, granted, those two home runs the game before
and
were unbelievable.
Harper didn't do much, but I
Harper
mean,
stunk. Yeah, no. Call a spade, Harper stunk.
He's bad. Not good. Not good.
And then someone who, that 2022 run, who was belting home runs, you know, left and right.
Not good. Hasn't been a great Philly. That's the problem with him. He hasn't been a great Philly.
Postseason wise?
Has he had a great regular season with them? No, he hasn't. He's been a good. He's been.
I'm not ready.
Good,
to, I'm not ready
years.
To say that.
He's had. He hasn't been a great Philly. He hasn't been a great. He embodies the team. He's comfortable in a postseason spot. He handles himself pretty well. He's an ambassador for the players. And there's not as much of an expectation. If he went to the Yankees and has done exactly what he has done to this point with the Phillies, he'd be known as a failure. But the fact that it's the Phillies and not the Yankees, that's where you start to question whether he's been a true success story for them or not.
I guess you're onto something.
Now, imagine if he did the same thing that he has done, but signed to the Yankees instead.
So he since joining the Phillies, Kyle, he's had one 100 RBI season. And that was 2019. It was the first time. And then, granted, injuries, right? He played 58 games in 2020, 99 games in 2022. But still, excluding those 2 years, there's still four-year sample size after that to not have 100 RBIs.
No, but he's a good player. There's no doubt. He's a great player. Has he lived up to that contract? Has he been an all-time great Philly?
If they win a World Series, I think yes.
Well, that's it. We'll wait for next
Correct.
Year.
Correct. Correct.
We'll wait for next year. If he did what he did for the Mets... Hey, the Mets will take it, but the Yankees, Dodgers, that wouldn't work.
By the way,
that wouldn't fly. That would not. That sample size and the success that they have had and the postseason he has had, that would not fly.
Friend of show Joe Fortenbaugh was all over him today too. It's hard not to be. It's hard not to be.
We're going to hold all the other stars to high. We're bashing Ohtani. We're bashing Judge, even though he's hitting .550. We're bashing all these guys. I mean, Guerrero's playing great. We were bashing him. Can we bash Harper? Has not been a great Philly.
Especially when you've gotten money.
That's it. And you're a seasoned vet. That's Mike Rizzo. Colin Russo. Damian Perez will do a little 5 and 5. We got Trevor Hoffman, the Hall of Famer, joining us in about 20-some-odd minutes. So stay tuned for that. We'll break down what we saw in the Phillies game. This guy, Trevor Hoffman, by the way, one of two players with 600 saves in MLB history. He is 52 saves behind Mariano Rivera. Mariano Rivera has had 17 postseason runs. Hoffman had about three that mattered. That goes to show, only 52 behind. An unheralded all-time great of the reliever game. He joins us at 5:20. We'll get into that as we enter into the 5 p.m. hour of Russo and Rizzo, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage on ESPN 106.3.